In this episode, episode 41 of The Daily Hustle, we talk about getting your message past the croc brain layer of the brain so that you can more clearly communicate what you're trying to say to the person you're communicating with. This is huge for you if you're trying to pitch something or if you're trying to sell more stuff. Also, it's Dirk Nowitzki's episode, and we get to talk about Sam Parker in this episode.
Broadcasting from the Box That Rocks and Thrive15.com world headquarters, it's The Daily Hustle with Daniel McKenna.
Folks, welcome into The Daily Hustle. It is episode 41, and we are on part two of the series talking about crafting the perfect pitch to raise money and sell more stuff. Over there to my left, as always, Marshall F. Morris. Over here, Daniel McKenna. And we are diving into part two of this here, Marshall. Yesterday, we talked about framing and frame control. And we were going to get into actually how to actually execute frame control, how to break the other person's frame. We're going to get into that. But then we decided we needed to take a step back. We need to take one step back here to kind of lay some foundation, So I unintentionally created more drama, more anticipation for this. How do you feel like the ratings will do because of this, you know, and this, it's a lot of anticipation we're building here. A lot of, you know.
Everybody's excited to see your new red shirt. So if you're listening to the podcast, you got to check out Dan's red shirt on the video on YouTube.
Imagine a person that is shorter than Marshall wearing a red shirt.
Imagine the red that you might see on the side of a fire truck in the shade.
In the shade. That's very specific.
Yeah.
Would you call that like a candy red, or was that like a
no
cardinal
candy red's
red?
too it's more of like a cardinal,
kind of a cardinal red,
with a sheet of smoke over it.
Okay, so the fire truck is actually at the fire.
It's not like a lot of smoke, it's kind of like smoldering.
Yeah, so they're at the station and somebody's barbecuing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's the kind of red we're talking about, just in case you're listening to the podcast and you want a really good visual of the kind of red the shirt I'm wearing.
Yeah, very descriptive.
Okay. Marshall, again, we're diving into this from Pitch Anything from Oren Claff. I think I'm saying his name right. Oren Claff.
I've always said Oren.
Oren.
In I think you like the full O. So I'm not going to tell you that you're wrong because you have just as much evidence that it's that than I have for mine.
Well, the book is definitely called Pitch Anything. We can agree on that.
Yeah,
we can pronounce that correctly. Pitch Anything.
I think we agree on Claff.
Mr. Claff has raised more than $400 million using these methods. He's landed deals with executives from Boeing, Disney, Honda, LinkedIn, Texas Instruments, Yamaha, big boys.
Yeah.
He's going into like the big boys' den and getting deals.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Marshall, in yesterday's episode, you talked about the croc brain a little bit.
Yeah.
You talked about the croc brain a little bit.
I did.
Now, in case you don't know what the croc brain is or what that even refers to, we wanted to take a step back and give you an idea of how this whole process starts. So, Marshall, I know you are not a doctor. Your father's a doctor. I know you are not. You do not have a medical degree necessarily, but
necessarily.
I don't know if those get handed down in like inheritance. I don't know how that works. Go ahead and let us know about the physical layout of the brain, the three layers of the brain, and how those three layers of the brain handle communication.
I fully understand that a lot of people are listening right now and not watching.
Yes.
So I'm not going to use my hands at all.
That's fine.
Okay. So I want everybody to picture in their mind, close your eyes, okay? If you're driving, just don't close your eyes for too long. But
wait, you said they're listening. So why are you closing your eyes?
No, I'm identifying with the audience.
Okay, I'm sorry. My fault. Continue to identify with the audience.
Okay.
Okay.
So if you're listening, I'm going to do it with my eyes closed.
Okay, do it.
So your eyes are closed, okay? You imagine your brain in the middle, centralmost part of the brain, the innermost part of the brain. You have the most historical, like the thing that developed first, okay? And that is your croc brain. That is your crocodile brain, okay? That is, I don't have much capacity here other than emotion, okay? And fight or flight. Do I want to kill it? Do I want to eat it? Do I want to mate with it?
This is your survival instincts.
Survival instincts.
This
That's
the crocodile
my croc brain.
Okay?
Okay. Now, I want you to imagine the part surrounding the crocodile brain, the next part that developed is part of your brain. okay? And this is the midbrain, okay? The midbrain, okay, is designed for social relationships. It's managing those emotions.
It's identifying the context in which this communication is coming to you.
That's right.
Is this person a friend? Is this person my boss? Is this
I recognize that person. How do I want to treat that person?
Yep.
Okay. Then the third part of the brain is the outermost. It's the most recently developed part of the brain. Okay. It's the neocortex. Okay. And this is the problem solving. This is the critical thinking. This is the analysis. This is the part of the brain that has the capacity for language. It's called the neocortex. It's the outermost part of the brain. Okay.
So that's the layout, the physical layout, the layers of the brain from soon to be MD Marshall.
Yeah, I'm in medical school.
Night classes. University of Phoenix.
University of Thrive.
University of Thrive, night classes.
For becoming a physician. We actually, we're not accredited, but
no.
But yeah, you can take night classes with us.
Well, there you go. That's quite an offer.
That's my hard sell.
So regardless of if you believe that humans have been around for 10,000 years or if you believe humans have been around for millions of years. You know, there's depending on how you believe the world was formed and that sort of thing, it's kind of like how long humans have been around, how long the world has been around, that sort of thing. Scientists have generally agreed this is how the brain developed.
Mm-hmm.
You started with your croc brain, your primal brain, your survival instincts. Your brain started forming and functioning as lifespans got longer, as we got smarter, as technology evolved, as medicine got better, that sort of thing. We developed the midbrain for social relationships, and as it continues to do that, the neocortex. This is the problem-solving layer of the brain. Now, why does this all matter? Let me give you an example of the three brains working independently and working together.
Is this an example or an analogy? Because I need to be prepared.
This is an example. This is from the book.
Okay.
This is from the book.
This isn't a Dan McKenna.
This is not
original.
A Dan McKenna analogy.
Okay.
No. No, those are reserved for very special times.
Okay.
Okay. This is from the book Pitch Anything, and he's talking about an example of, let's say you're walking to your car. You're walking to your car. You're surprised because somebody is shouting. It kind of startles you. Your first act reflexively is you react with some fear. This is the crocodile brain at work. This is like you're startled. You're like, you kind of tense up. You like start looking around to see what that noise is. You're like immediately primal instinct, survival instinct say, what is that? Okay. Then you will try to make meaning from the situation by identifying the person doing the yelling and placing him or her in a social context. This is your midbrain trying to determine if it's a friendly coworker, an angry parking attendant, or something worse. Yes, Marshall?
Nothing. Keep going.
I thought you had something valuable to...
I didn't. I was just... I'm very much in this situation. You're painting this picture for me, and I'm with you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for your support. And finally, you'll process that situation in the neocortex, the problem-solving brain, which figures out it's okay, it's just some guy yelling at his buddy across the street. So our thought process matches this evolution, first survival, then social relationships, then problem solving. Now, Marshall, why does this all matter? You would assume as, you know, this is as modern as we know. We don't know about time travel yet. We don't know if that's a thing. So we don't know if, like, there's people thousands of years in the future that can, like, come back and talk to us right now. So this is modern as we know. And as far as we know and what we would assume, our neocortex, the most developed part of our brain, the part of our brain where we have problem solving, logic, facts, this sort of thing, we would assume that that's the part of our brain that's talking to other people, which is true, and we would assume that's the part of the brain that is hearing us, which is not true. Marshall, dive into this a little bit. Tell me, what are we talking about here?
Essentially, your croc brain is like a filter, okay? And so you have to it goes through all of these different evaluative filters. And the reason why it goes through this way is because you don't have time to process what is really going on before, like, you have to make an instinctive decision. Like, if there's a car swerving into your lane, you got to, like, swerve out of the way before you, like, what kind of car is that? You know, it's like, you don't care.
Why is that person in my lane?
Yeah, like... Is that person, like, a man or a woman.
And furthermore, you don't even have the time to decide to swerve out of the way.
Yeah, you just have to do it.
You don't even think, like, I should probably get out of the way so I don't get in a car wreck.
Yeah.
You just pull out of the way.
Yeah. So, like, that's what we're talking about here is, like, you have these different filters that filter for different things. And when you speak, you have to understand that you're speaking to the croc brain first, okay? Is this something that, you know, that is going to be valuable to me or not valuable to me right off the bat? Do I need to engage in instinctive reflexes or not?
So the person that you are talking to, the person that you're pitching something to, that you're pitching maybe that new deal you're trying to land, or maybe you're pitching to a new business-to-business type of a relationship, or maybe even you're just trying to sell something, you're pitching to them, you have to realize the words that are coming out of your mouth from like your logic center of your brain are first hitting them in the croc center of their brain. Like Marshall said, at first, it's going through that filter, the very first contact there, that's what's happening. And the croc brain is going to try to filter out anything that isn't an emergency as spam, as not that important, because its first job is to survive.
Well, yeah, that's my first job is to eat tacos. Second job is to survive.
Your brain has been evolved in a slightly different way than other brains,
I'm an advanced life form.
You're an advanced life form. First goes to the taco frame, and then the croc brain for Marshall.
That's right.
Okay. So when the croc brain hears your modern brain pitch, it says, if it's boring, ignore it. If it's dangerous, fight or run. And if it's complicated, radically summarize and pass it on in a severely truncated form. Now, this is why this is interesting here, Marshall, as we're getting into this. You know how all the time we talk about marketing, we talk about how it has to be simple, has to be a simple message, has to be like a simple message. You can't just throw out 7 million things and then people like understand it. Like it overwhelms them. They won't even read it, right?
Right.
Is this what we're talking about here?
Yes. if you give them too much to interpret all at once, they're going to try to interpret, but they don't have the time to interpret it. So they're just going to say, I'm just going to pick and choose what I choose to remember. Like, and it's not going to be whatever the marketer intended for them to understand. So simplifying the message so that the croc brain can understand it is what we have to do.
Is this real stuff? Have you seen this before? Have you seen this? Any examples of this? Like, is this real life?
Have I seen a crocodile brain?
Not an actual crocodile brain. Kind of the concept we're talking about here.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Do you have any examples of like maybe instances where you or somebody else was communicating something in a way that they thought they were getting across a point and it was being received by somebody in a completely different way because the context that they had was it was either something fearful for them or scary for them or dangerous for them, or they interpreted it in a way that where they were talking about, wait, how does this affect me? That wasn't even like the conversation.
Yeah, I got it.
Go.
I got it.
Hit me.
Perfect example.
Please give me an example.
Everybody's going to identify with this.
I'm so ready.
Back in college.
Yeah.
The girlfriend that I had at the time.
Okay.
She goes, hey, Marshall, do you want to go get Valentine's Day dinner?
Ooh.
I go, absolutely. Let's go get pizza and beer.
Perfect. Hot date.
She was like, do you want to get Valentine's Day dinner? And I communicated what would have made me happy.
Sure.
She interpreted that as, what an insincere jerk. Now, I wasn't trying to communicate that.
Right.
But that's how she interpreted it.
Okay.
So she was like, this is not going to work out.
So she took that as an indicator that
her croc brain
it was not a safe relationship anymore.
She labeled that as spam.
As spam.
Okay. So it misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Okay. I was speaking very logically. Time.
You're like, you know what?
We have a test to study for.
You know, it sounds awesome taste-wise. Budget-wise, convenience-wise.
It's very logical.
And we're just like very much like, this is exactly what I think would be awesome. Let's do this. And she interpreted that as, he doesn't care about me at all. He's very insincere.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Understandably, her croc brain did not filter that in a way that was favorable for me.
Okay. So perhaps you at home, if you are of the male species, maybe you have had this instance where you've tried to communicate something and the female or another male has taken that in a way that was like, that is not at all what I was trying to communicate.
Mm.
They took that as a threat. They took that as a sign of...
Yeah, she took it as a threat.
She took it as a threat. Well, yeah, she took it as a threat. She took it as a, oh no, this guy doesn't care about me. This guy's a jerk. I got to get out of here.
Yeah, it was awesome.
It sounds awesome. I'm glad to have brought that up right after Valentine's Day.
Well, I thought it was very timely.
Very timely. Okay, so when we are talking about the rules of engagement here, the rules of engagement, after a pitch, you must ask yourself, did I get through and was my message well received? This is kind of recapping after you've talked to somebody to make sure your communication is actually clear. Did I get through and was my message well received? Here's the two vitally important things. What is vitally important in making sure your message fulfills two objectives. First, you don't want your message to trigger fear alarms. You don't want the brain, the croc brain, to put up a defense real quick. Like, oh gosh, this is bad for me. This is bad for me. You don't want to trigger fear alarms. And second, you want to make sure it gets recognized as something positive, unexpected, and out of the ordinary. A pleasant novelty.
That's right.
Now, if you threw away all this mumbo jumbo we've been talking about so far, and you just went with common sense, Marshall, let's say you're pitching something to somebody that hears stuff all the time, hears these pitches all the time. This is what they do. They're in business or they're a consumer. They hear these sort of things all the time. What is something you would say you would need to do if you knew, okay, this customer hears from my type of clients all the time. What do I need to do to get through to this person? What's the kind of things that you would like think of off the top of your head? Like, I need to do these things.
Well, the best quote that I have is Seth Godin's quote. Okay, marketer. He says that if you're not remarkable, you're invisible. Mm. And so if you don't do anything memorable, then the person you're talking to is not going to remember you. Okay. So if you do if you present your pitch or you present a pitch that is the same as everything else, it's just going to fade into the white noise of that person's day. Okay. So you have to do something remarkable during the presentation. Okay. It has to create intrigue. It has to be novel. It has to be different and unexpected.
You know the stat where they talk about how someone needs to see your message? It was either 21 or 27 times. It's an advertising stat. Someone needs to see your message 21 or 27 times before they can actually like decide to take action on it.
Educate me.
Okay.
I mean, I know that there are stats.
Okay, there are stats. Okay. This is like maybe my only like this is my only one upper on you right here.
Educate me.
This is my first time ever.
Educate me.
Well, you know, first of all, you know, I do have a degree in advertising and mass media communication.
There
so
you go.
I'm obviously very qualified to
You're very
talk
qualified.
About this. Yeah. I'll look at the actual stat here while we're talking about this, but the concept is that the reason you have to have so many of the commercials on your let's say you're Toyota and you want someone to buy your car. You have to have that commercial on. They have to see that message like 21 times before it even like registers that to them that like buying a Toyota might be a good idea. That's why you see it in like billboards and magazines and TV commercials and like I'll look up the actual stat here, but let's say that's actually true. Do you think that contributes to this second part of this croc brain we were talking about? Second, you want to make sure it gets recognized as something positive, unexpected, and out of the ordinary, a pleasant novelty.
I actually think that mass type of marketing is going to be a little bit different, where you're ramrodding your message through. I think you're ramrodding it.
Okay.
And that's because the frequency, it's top of mind, tip of tongue. Okay. Jonah Berger, psychologist, he wrote the book Contagious, talks about triggers. Okay. So things that are at the top of your mind, you're more likely to talk about on the tip of your tongue.
Okay.
And so because you're thinking about it the entire time, you might see the first 20 instances of the particular marketing campaign or the advertisement. Okay. And you're not like thinking about buying a car, but maybe then you get into a car accident, you got to buy a new car.
Yeah.
And so now because Toyota's at the top of your mind, you're like, maybe I should look at Toyotas. And so it's at the top of the mind. Now, you're not going to remember it unless it is novel. okay? Unless something is memorable about it, okay? And so the frequency is, you know, it's hard to, like, if you had to target only the people that were thinking about buying, that would be highly expensive and very futile. It's like, you can't, there's no demographic for people that are ready to buy. Okay.
It'd be nice though.
That would be awesome. So Facebook, if you come up with that,
that's something I'm interested in. Yeah.
But that's the problem, is you can't pick and choose where in the buying process somebody is to choose when to market to them. So therefore you have to always be at the top of their mind and you always have to be memorable for the right reasons.
Okay. So that's a good example of mass marketing. Let's talk more like what we were talking about, one-on-one. Why would I need to have something that maybe you haven't heard before, maybe something that's a little extra sexy, maybe something that's new technology, maybe that's something that's a new opportunity? Why would I need to have some of that inside of my pitch for it to get to you?
Because otherwise, it's not going to create any kind of level of intrigue, and therefore I will not be interested. Because I feel like
even if it's a good deal.
Yeah, I feel like you're telling me things that I already know about, and therefore I have all the information to make a decision upon.
And my pitch probably isn't that special anymore.
Right.
Doesn't really matter all that much.
Right.
Okay. Getting to the end here of the summary here of the croc brain here. Again, number one, you have to know it's going to ignore you if possible. Which, by the way, the stories in this book are pretty awesome. If you read this book,
talking about all the book.
Huh?
Yeah, well, yeah, yeah. This is a great book. It's one of my favorite books. I'm so glad that you gave it back.
Talking about pitching to executives and people that hear these sort of pitches all the time. Number one, it's going to ignore you if possible.
Yeah.
It's only focused on the big picture and needs high contrast and well-differentiated options to choose between. It's emotional in the sense that it will respond emotionally to what it sees and hears, but most of the time that response is fear. It's focused on the here and now with a short attention span that craves novelty. And it's in need of concrete facts. It looks for verified evidence and doesn't like abstract concepts. Why does this all matter? What's the summary here? The summary here is that for you, pitching something, if you're going to pitch something, pitch anything, you must get your message past the spam filter, past the filter of the croc brain, onto the decision-making layers of the brain of the person you're talking to.
That's hot.
And knowing these things, knowing this, that this is how the brain is going to initially hear your message, will allow you to craft your message in a way that gets past this layer of the brain, that gets to the actual logical parts of the brain that can make a decision based on how, like, what you're presenting, and not just a primal, like, I don't like this person or I do like this person.
That's right.
Okay. So it's all about getting your message past the croc brain. This is, I mean, honestly, Marshall, this is pretty advanced level stuff. This isn't like if you said, you know what, I think that what they're talking about is real. I think what they're talking about in this pitch anything book is real. This is decently advanced level type of thinking.
Advanced level thinking, easy to execute.
Easy to execute.
Yeah.
Well, before we keep going here, why do you feel that way?
I feel that way because once you understand how the brain works, it's very easy to communicate to the appropriate parts of the brain. Okay. So it's just communicating to more of an emotional state of somebody versus the abstract logical state of somebody. I think you boil it down. That's what you're doing.
Okay. Nice. Well, Mr. Orek or Orek.
No, Orek is a vacuum.
No, no. I was calling him Orek. You were calling him Orek.
His name is Oren.
Oh, perhaps that was a misspelling down here in the show notes. Mr. Oren, Mr. Claff. Apologies to him. We love your book. Mr. Oren, when he figured it out, he said when his pitches went well, he did these things. He made the crocodile brain feel safe. He was feeding it short vignettes of clear, visual, and novel information, and he wasn't making it do too much work to get past that first layer, to get to where they can have like an actual conversation.
Mm.
Okay, so how do you do this? Well, there's the STRONG acronym that we'll be talking about in future episodes. STRONG, set the frame. We talked about framing and frame control in the previous episode. We'll talk more about that. Setting the frame, telling the story, revealing the intrigue, offering the prize, nailing the hook point, and getting the deal.
Strong.
Now, this is a guy who's done this countless times, raised hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Landed deals with huge executives that didn't want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And he's saying, this is what I did. This is how I did it. Pretty big stuff.
Groundbreaking stuff.
Pretty big stuff. And it might be huge for you in your business. It might be huge for you. The next time that you have to have a hard conversation with an employee, or the next time that you have to have a big sale that you're going to the other business-to-business type stuff, and you finally landed a meeting with them, and now you're going to actually meet with them to like talk about your stuff. You have to know that at first, that first level of that brain is that croc brain, and they're going to initially try to filter out your message just for survival. You need to get past the croc brain level to actually have a conversation.
Hot sizzle.
One more time. Strong, setting the frame, telling the story, revealing the intrigue, offering the prize, nailing the hook point to get the deal. Boom. And we will be talking about frame busting in another episode, but we needed to lay the kind of the foundation here of what we were talking about to get the conversation started here. Anything else on this, Marshall? Anything else on the croc brain or the concepts we talked about today?
I think you have a very beautiful croc brain.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. Is that good?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a nice. Right. It's a compliment.
Okay. Well, thank you. Daily wins. Going on to the daily wins of the week here, Marshall.
That's right.
We've already established some rapport. I don't. My croc brain does not fear what you're going to say next.
You can now.
You can now clearly communicate your message about the daily wins of the week.
Okay.
And for today's episode, I'm going to have you be Sam the cameraman. I'm going to have you be Sam the cameraman. Sam, how's it going back there, man? Sam the cameraman. I'm going to have you be Sam the cameraman, and I'm going to have you deliver the daily wins of the week.
I don't know. Sam doesn't necessarily have like a...
Well, Sam is a handyman. Sam is a bodybuilder.
That's true.
Sam slightly resembles a lumberjack, yeah. Except maybe an Irish lumberjack.
What? Because of the red beard?
Yeah.
So that makes him an Irish.
Well, I mean, yeah. That's why I said slightly resembles an Irish lumberjack.
Now, Parker, very Irish.
Parker, no, that's like Spider-Man. He comes from the Spider-Man lineage, Sam Parker. Peter Parker was his great-great-grandfather.
I'm trying to think of anything that I could do behaviorally that is very, like, Sam. Okay, real talk. Got it.
Oh, I'm so excited. So excited.
No lie. There is not a single other person in the office. Okay, so if I'm Sam, this is me. This is me, Sam. I'm constantly... drinking coffee.
Go on.
Sam is the only person that I've seen that drinks almost as much coffee as I do.
Okay, that's good.
He has a Keurig up there.
He has his own Keurig
that he brews coffee at.
We have Keurigs in the office.
Yeah, we have multiple
Keurigs in the office, and he has his own one at his desk.
Yeah, and so if I was Sam,
yeah,
okay, he's the only one. I drink a lot of coffee.
Sure.
And Sam drinks a lot of coffee.
Okay.
Honestly, don't you drink a lot of coffee? Is this you're only drinking coffee when you're around me? Or okay, that's probably what it is. So if I'm Sam, I'm announcing the daily wins of the week while I'm drinking coffee.
Sure, that's fine.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, I got to go record the daily wins of the week, or other notably, the Thrive Time Show.
Yep.
On 1170 KFAQ Talk Radio.
Oh.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, here are your daily wins of the week.
Okay. Okay. That was nice, to the point. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you.
Thank you for announcing the daily wins of the week, Sam. We appreciate that. Go ahead and give us the daily wins here, Marshall.
Okay. This week, we got Spirit, Soul, and Body. Okay. They continue to crush it.
Yeah.
After we launched their website a couple weeks ago, SSBKids.com. SSBKids.com.
Check it out.
They are spending about $150 or less on ads online.
Yeah.
Okay. And they're driving 40 plus leads weekly to their gym.
So weekly they're putting in about $150 in ads.
Yep.
And weekly they're driving like 40 leads.
That's right.
And their gym is here in town. It's here in Tulsa. They do gymnastics. They do, I saw they do like boys gymnastics, like club type stuff. They do girls gymnastics. They do cheerleading type stuff. They do like competition level tumbling. Like they do it all.
That's right.
And I'm guessing that one or two of those leads is going to pay for that $150.
Oh yeah.
So they're crushing it.
Yeah.
They are one of the Thrive 15 coaching clients. And if you don't know what we do, go to thrive15.com. You can fill out your business evaluation to find out how your business ranks, what kind of score your business would get in different areas. And if you tell them that the Daily Hustle Show sent you, you're going to get that book, Thrive, for free. Now, what we do with the three options you have here are, one, there's training videos online for you to watch with mentors such as David Robinson, Michael Levine, Lee Cockrell, really big names in business. Number two, we have weekend conferences. Sam, go ahead and show them. Up at thrivetimeshow.com/workshops, it's a two-day, 16-hour business extravaganza. It's going to fill you with so many action steps for your business. It's going to be huge for you. And the third option is we have weekly coaching clients. This man right over here, Marshall Morse, and others here in the building are business consulting clients that we run through our 13-point system, and they're seeing massive results for the clients that we're working with.
Oh, yeah.
And Spirit, Soul, and Body is one of them.
That's right.
Pretty awesome.
Very awesome.
Very awesome.
Exceptionally awesome.
You were also bragging about Delrick today.
Yeah, I was. They just continued to crush it.
This is an unplanned daily wins. I won't get into specific numbers, but they were doing some clients weekly.
They without specific numbers.
Yeah.
One of their leads that closed, they had is like more than 90 leads, and one of them pays for the next 4 months. If they close one out of 90, pays for the next 4 months worth of advertising for them.
And real talk, they're doing what, four times as many customers per week?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Real talk?
Than when we started with them.
Four times as many?
Yeah, between three and four.
Between three and four. Okay, so if that's something that you might be interested in, having three or four more times more customers, which, I mean, sounds pretty sweet to me.
Yep.
Hit us up at thrive15.com. Okay, that was it for today, Marshall. We are talking about the croc brain. We are setting the scale, setting the context for frame controlling and frame busting, which we will talk about in future episodes. This is all part of the series about crafting the perfect pitch so that you can raise more money and sell more stuff. This was the croc brain versus the neocortex. By the way, I almost forgot. This was the Dirk Nowitzki episode.
That's right.
Episode 41, Dirk Nowitzki.
You're right.
The German.
Yeah.
13-time All-Star.
13 times.
2006 MVP.
2006.
Some people have labeled him as the greatest shooting big man of all time.
Some people.
Some people.
Not all people.
Not all people, but some people.
A lot of people.
I don't know if Kevin Durant now would be like, he's a better shooting big man. I mean, Kevin Durant's like 6'11".
In my mind, he's a very small man.
I like that. I like you even more now that you said that. That's right. Okay. All right. Well, that was episode 41, the Dirk Nowitzki episode. Sitting over to my left, as always, Marshall Morse over here, Daniel McKenna. We will see you next time. Boom.